into the blessing. In this message, Pastor first explains 5 practical things on how to break out of a negative cycle of defeat, failure, and debt. He then goes on to explain 4 kinds of giving and the motives that should be behind these givings, which will bring prosperity blessings into our lives.
I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Lamentation chapter 3. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 17. Lamentation chapter 3 verse 17.
And you have removed my soul far off from the peace. I have forgotten about prosperity.
Amen. I forget prosperity. Been studying on finances, and how many of you believe that God will prosper you? Amen. Only some of you believe that God will prosper you. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, actually, there is 2 scriptures that is actually burning in my heart, and I'm not exactly sure how to go about it. But I want to title the message, Breaking Free into the Blessing. Breaking Free into the Blessing. Open your mouth and say, Breaking Free into the Blessing. As a matter of fact, I sometimes wonder, how do you break out of a cycle, whether it be a cycle of defeat or sin or any other issue, even a financial issue? How do you break out of a cycle? Do you believe that God can break you out of a cycle of defeat, of frustration, of sickness, of bondage, of poverty, of debt, of whatever, habitual sin, whatever? How many of you believe that God can actually set you free? Amen. When you study the book of John chapter 5, you remember there was a man by the pool of Bethesda who was sick for 38 years. And Jesus set him free. 5 practical things, even when you're praying for prosperity or to be free from whatever cycle, 5 practical things, then I come on to that word that I quoted to you. Number 1, very simple. Be convinced 100% that Jesus wants to set you free. Be convinced 100%. No matter what your issue is, your challenge is, your problem is, how long it has been there, be convinced 100% that Jesus will set you free. I would like to hear a couple more amens for that. Sometimes you begin to, you know, when you are not convinced, you begin to ask yourself, why is God doing this to me? Is it a curse? Am I under some judgment? Is there some ancestral problem in my life? A generational curse maybe? Why do I go through the same cycle of defeat, of frustration, of poverty, or debt? Why do I go through this? But you have to be convinced 100%. Even for you to walk into the blessing of prosperity, that Jesus will set you free. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. In the pool of Bethesda, you find all kinds of frustrated people, lame, maimed, people who could not walk, all of them were lying there. Number two. You have to really believe that there is nothing impossible with God. Most of the believers are not convinced. There is nothing impossible. Come on, let me hear you. There's nothing impossible with God. This man is sick for 38 years. He could have said, if God wanted to do something in my life, maybe God should have done it 10 years back. Now all my youth is gone. I'm 38 years sick. I do not know what his age is, but my youth is past. Sometimes people are convinced that the things in their life, whether it be poverty, debt, sin, is permanent. Sometimes you speak to a believer and you tell them, hey, listen, Jesus wants to set you free. It is hard to get them to believe that. They say, listen, pastor, you don't know me. I've been having this issue for so many years. I fasted, I prayed, but nothing seems to be working. But you gotta believe that there is nothing, open your mouth and say, nothing impossible with God. Amen. Hebrews 12. The Bible says in 28, 29 verse, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, which means there is nothing else that is permanent. If you are not in the kingdom of God, everything else can be shaken. Are you with me? Every challenge that you're facing, every sickness, everything can be shaken out of your life. Praise the Lord. If your sickness is not manifesting the kingdom of God, it can be shaken out. If poverty is not manifesting, it can be shaken out. It can be moved. It can be removed because it is not permanent. But it's nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've seen people, believers, saying, it's always been my struggle, pastor. It's been in our family for years. It's been a long fight. Number three, you gotta stop making excuses. This man by the pool of Bethesda said, I have no one to help me. There'll always be an excuse and a reason to stay where you are. Always. And excuses actually empower cycles. It's like a protein shake for your cycle. Excuse. If you have an excuse in your mouth, you have a cycle in your heart. Sometimes people say, you don't know, pastor, how I was raised. We come from a poor family. I was born like this. I had a very bad teacher. Pastor was not supportive. Every one of us can go back to the point of pain and make it our foundation. But as long as you do that, you don't break out of any cycles in your life. There'll always be somebody to blame. If that guy had not introduced me to that pornographic site, if this person had not given me that cocaine or that grass or weed or whatever, I wouldn't have had this addiction. And I'm saying it is a real excuse. Are you with me? Real excuses. This man really did not have anybody to help him. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but the fact is that for you to even step out into a blessing, you gotta stop making excuses. There will always be a crisis available to make you go back. Imagine you have an issue with anger. There'll always be some crisis that will make you to get angry. It's a cycle. There'll always be somebody that you can blame. One of the devil's tricks is to raise up stress levels in your life so that your flesh will crave for that cycle again. You know, when Jesus came and chose his apostles or disciples, one of them was called Thomas. His second name is Didymus, which means the twin. He's the apostle that came to India. How many of you are thankful to God for that? That means that Jesus loves India. He chose one of his apostles to come down all the way to India. That's why I believe that God has got a marvelous plan about our nation. Amen. The gospel will be furthered. Hallelujah. People will be saved. The Holy Spirit revival in the last days is going to be in this nation of India. Nation of India will be the platform to show forth God's glory. The greatest anointed servants of God will rise up from this nation across the world. Just like Europe used to send out missionaries at one time into the rest of the world, India will be the platform that will release missionaries across the world for the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe you are going to be one of them for the glory of God, stand up and say, I belong to Jesus, I will serve him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Now this guy is called the doubting Thomas. So we also have one of the things that the apostle came, and I believe that we also received is a lot of doubts. Imagine you come on a Sunday or a Friday meeting, you hear a powerful word, you are excited, encouraged, your faith level is really up. You step out into your car, you drive down, maybe at the most you reach Kundanur, and the twin, the other guy in you, begins to make you doubt. Really? 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 There'll always be this twin who will want to take over. Really? God wants to prosper? Really? Pastor, you don't know him? Know me. This twin brother, when he shows up, remind him that you have an elder brother. His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell your twin brother, shut up. Hallelujah. Jesus, my elder brother, has spoken. Hallelujah. I will be blessed. I will be set free. My cycle will be broken. I'm going to break out into a blessing. God will prosper me. God will bring me through. Look at somebody and say, I got an elder brother. Amen. His name is Jesus. Four, you gotta get up. Look at somebody and say, you gotta get up. Amen. Jesus said to this man, get up. Many churches teach people how to fall by the Spirit, you know. When God's power comes, you fall down by His power. We believe in that. Beautiful. Amen. So they fall by the power on Sunday. But I believe the next move of God is going to be such that you fall on Sunday, that will be for you to stand up on Monday. For you to get up, because sometimes you fall on Sunday and then again you fall on Monday, not into the right things, into the wrong thing. You gotta get up. Getting up means, Jesus said, get up. This man has to obey. I don't know how many of you started obeying the scriptures that we preach here on Friday, especially the teachings. On Sundays, I just try to do an encouragement and just a little bit of teaching. But on Fridays, I'm just here to teach you from the word. But you got to apply it, obey. The Gospel of John chapter 2, Jesus said, listen, Mary said, whatever he says, just obey. Just obey. Obedience gets easier when you practice it. Look at somebody and say, obedience gets easier when you practice it. Disobedience always comes with shame and guilt. You hate how you feel after you've disobeyed the Lord. Obedience is not easy, but it gets easier as you practice it. 1 Samuel 15, 22, 23. Obedience is better than, open your mouth and say that, obedience is better than, what does that mean? Somebody said, obedience is the unforced rhythm of God's grace. The unforced rhythm of God's grace. That is what obedience is. It's better than sacrifice. You know how hard it is to sacrifice? Obedience is actually better than sacrifice. I would say easier than sacrifice. It's not easy in the beginning, but as you begin to practice it, it will become easier and easier and easier and easier. You start obeying God in little things, you'll be able to obey God in big things. Are you with me? You start obeying the Lord in little things, forgiveness. In the beginning, it's very hard, but you forgive, bless that person, pray for that person. After some time, it becomes easy. Just that there's a rhythm to it. Because when you serve the Lord, and especially if you're going to serve the Lord, uncompromising on the word of God, you're going to have a lot of opposition and enemies, a lot of people to forgive, a lot of criticism, a lot of things that will be spoken against you. But it becomes easier and easier. It'll just... a rhythm to the grace of God that will flow. Hey, it doesn't even bother you. You start obeying the Lord in terms of your finances. Say you have a pocket money of 1,000 rupees, giving 100 rupees to the Lord, 10% tithe, easier. Becomes harder when it is 10,000. It becomes a little bit more harder when it is 1 lakh. You got to now give 10,000. It becomes harder when it is, God blesses you, you have 10 lakhs, and you got to give 1 lakh to the Lord. You're tired. It becomes a little bit more harder. What about when it becomes 1 crore? Most people still give that 1,000. It's much more. But let me tell you, when you're doing it in obedience to God's word, there is a rhythm, there is a grace attached to it. I mean, it doesn't matter. You could be having millions coming into you and say, hey, listen, take it, Lord, this is yours. For your freedom, liberty from any kind of cycle that is negative. Let me tell you, freedom is not easier, but it is always better. Because Jesus said, get up. Now this man cannot go back to begging. That was easier. He's got used to it. He can lie down there and say, somebody help me, please. But now this guy has got to get up and walk. Freedom is not always easier, but it is better. Are you with me? He can't go back to begging. What would you have done? Which is easier? Somebody bringing you chutney and dosha every day morning, throwing money for you, you lying down there, you got used to it, coming to church, just lie down, yeah. Or suddenly you get up, you got to take responsibility now, you got to work. Nobody's going to give you a handout. Ah, come on, church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you still with me? The fifth point, practical point. Not everyone is gonna like you being free. This man is set free. We would think the entire world would rejoice with him. But the people came around and said, listen, you did this on a Sabbath, Jesus. This man carrying the bed and walking is against the rule. On Sabbath, you're not supposed to do it. When this man was bound, nobody cared. The crowd was comfortable with it. But now you're free, they got a problem. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Come on, church. When you're free, somebody else can control you. Are you with me? But people would like to control you. They would like you to be bound. Look at somebody and say, the Lord is going to set me free completely. I'm going to come out of every cycle by the grace of God. Amen. 2019 is my year of total freedom. I'm going to enjoy the liberty, complete freedom that the Lord gives me. Lift your voice and say that in faith tonight. Say, Jesus is going to completely set me free. I'm going to break out of every cycle of negativity, of debt, of sin, of issues that are bondage. I'm going to be completely free by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it amazing when you're free? Imagine you go to a bar and you drink every day. I'm sure you don't do that. But if you look at BC, you know, before you came to the Lord, you want to have a drink, you have. You want to order a second drink, you do that. The bartender never comes to you and says, listen, you're wasting too much money, go home. They'll never say that. The owner will never say that. You want to go gamble, you want to do something stupid, they will never say, okay, you've been eating parotta from this restaurant every day, this time it is free. No, you still got to pay for that parotta even though you're eating every day. Imagine you come to the Lord, hear about finances, sowing your seed, tithing, all that, and you begin to do that, and then this people say, should you really be giving all that money? Really? I mean, they never had a problem when you were spending it on something that is not eternal, when that was not scriptural. But suddenly you are wondering, should I be giving all this money to this church? I mean, pastor is not even nice to me. He doesn't even pick up my call. You understand what I'm saying? Freedom is always not easy, but it is better. Amen. And that comes when you obey the Lord. I mean, I ask myself this question every time. Lord, why am I pastoring this church? Let me tell you, there are 100 million reasons why I would like to walk away. Not from the Lord. Never from the Lord. But why am I pastoring this church? And it boils down to one thing. Is it the popularity? Is it the crowd's love? Is it people being nice to me? Is it all that? No. One thing, and there's one thing alone. Because God asked me to. I always wanted to be an evangelist, go forth across the nations of the world and do what I want to do for the Lord. I never wanted to be a pastor. As a matter of fact, hallelujah, if there is any pastor in the city who prays, don't send more souls here, Lord, send them to some other church in the city. It is me. Why do you do what you do? Maybe leading worship, preaching, ministering, whatever. It has to come down to this truth. Lord, whatever you say, I will do. Give me the grace for that. Here I am, Lord. And when you do that, let me tell you, every cycle is going to break out of your life. You're going to walk into the liberty of God, into the blessing of God. If you believe that, lift your hands and say, Jesus' name, hallelujah, I'm going to enjoy the liberty of the Holy Ghost in my life. Breaking out into a blessing, coming out of a cycle into the blessing of God. As a matter of fact, as we grow up, I believe for people in the middle age, the greatest three fears are normally death, disease, and poverty. And God doesn't want you to carry that. Are you with me? Look at somebody and say, you won't die before your time. Amen. Amen. God's plan for your life is health. Look at somebody and say that. God's plan for your life is health and prosperity. And prosperity. Amen. Is this helping somebody? Am I? Two words. Motivation and momentum. Open your mouth and say motivation and momentum. Motivation and momentum. Malachi chapter 3. We've gone through the scripture many a time, but we're going to look through it again. Malachi chapter 3. Ninth verse. 10th verse.
Bring all of you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts.
Amen. How many of you are givers? Would lift your hands. Yeah? Okay. How many of you have given and not walked in to your blessing? Can you lift your hands? You have given, but not walked into the prosperity that is promised in the scripture. That's what I'm coming to. There are four kinds of giving that will bring in the blessing into your life. The first one is what we call the tithe. The motivation for us tithing is what? Obedience. Open your mouth and say, obedience. It is obedience that connects you, tithing, obedience that connects you to the blessing. The moment you tithe, there's an open heaven above you. God rebukes the devourer for your name, for your sake. That's promised in the scripture there. Are you with me? The second giving is what is called first fruits. We studied on that in detail, but I'm just coming to the motivation. The motivation for your first fruit is generosity. Proverbs chapter 3, 9 and 10. You are releasing your first and your best unto God. You're motivated by wanting to be generous. The first one is obedience. The second one is generosity. You're showing God that you are grateful to Him for the extra blessing in your life. You're showing forth when you give your first fruits, you love the Lord more than money. It's an expression of your love for His word. You're saying, I'm not controlled by money. Every year, January, something that I've been following is every year, the beginning, that's when people are really nice to me. They bring in the best gifts for me. So I make sure whatever I get in that month, that is my first fruit unto the Lord. The entire month, everything, I don't touch anything. I don't use that to buy groceries or anything. All for the Lord. I've been doing that for years. And I've seen, ever since I started doing that, every time, the rest of the year just flows smoothly because God just releases things out. The blessing just flows. In the New Testament alone, there are 31 instances when this word first fruit is mentioned. You can study that from the scripture by yourself. But there is a third giving, which is called almsgiving. Almsgiving is not to God, but to people. And the motivation is compassion. You feel for people. If I don't feel compassion, I don't give to that person. Are you with me? Because I have people always coming for help and asking for help. But the moment I know, I'm not speaking about compassion is different from sympathy. Sympathy is human. It is our nature. You feel sympathy for a person. Somebody comes and says to you, oh, I'm going through this struggle, Pastor. I've got this problem. You feel sympathy? That is you. But you feel compassion? That's God. Are you with me? So the moment you feel compassion, I know I have to. Matthew chapter 6 verse 1. Matthew chapter 6 verse 1.
Take heed that all of you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, Otherwise, all of you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. Next verse.
Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
See, and the next verse, and the next verse, you can read it. Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's not speaking about tithe. It's not speaking about first fruits. It is when you're doing before people for somebody else. Let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, don't make it public and don't show it. But what happens to most people and most churches is, when they do something, imagine you're building a house for the poor, or feeding the hungry, or taking care of orphans, they will show a few pictures of orphans standing there, and they will say, help. But the Bible says, don't show it. The moment you do that, you are losing out on a blessing. The moment you give almsgiving to show people, to tell people, you are losing out on a blessing for your photo to come on a picture, you know, in a newspaper, or for your name to be known. Are you with me? Bathroom built for the poor, Mr. Rouse Pichin. What I'm saying is, there is no blessing in it. Please do give. But that is something that you do in secret, and God, who sees in secret, will bless you openly. We as a church, sometimes people come and say, you know, it's always spoken about churches that help the poor. I mean, we don't see you doing anything for the poor. We don't show it to you. We do it scripturally. We do it unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And God blesses us because of that. We as a church, more than, I can tell you, more than any other church, maybe in the city, do more for the poor than anybody else. Hallelujah. But we don't show it. We don't put it on the screen. Because the motivation for each is different. Are you learning something tonight? Amen. Why don't you show it? Imagine I want to help somebody here. And I'm showing, okay, so and so, brother, please. I see you are in problem. Okay, this is for you. See, I'm lowering his dignity. And God doesn't want that. Are you with me? I'm doing it for somebody. I'm not trying to embarrass that person or... I have to protect his dignity. Are you with me? But when you do that, God will repay you for that. Proverbs 19 and verse 17 says, he who gives to the poor lendeth to the Lord, and the Lord himself will repay. The interest levels I do not know, but it's much better than putting it in a fixed deposit, or maybe even in mutual funds. The Lord himself will repay when you give to the poor. But here, this is the most important thing. Breaking into a blessing. Prosperity. Forget not prosperity. How does that happen? It's the fourth type of giving. The seed. When I sow a seed, Mark chapter 4, verses 8 onwards. The sower went and sowed the word. For anything that you sow, just a word maybe, or even a seed of finances. Finances is also spoken as a seed. God gives seed to the sower in 2 Corinthians 9. So when you sow a seed into good ground, according to the measure that you sow, you will reap. Some will reap 30-fold, some will reap 60-fold, some will reap 100-fold. The same measure that you use will be the measure that will be given back unto you. How many of you understand what? The motivation for that is faith. I'm teaching you something, and I you won't get this anywhere else. If it can get into your heart, this can set you free in your finances. So just, if you're looking for a breakthrough where you want to get excited, jump up and run around for some time, come on Sunday morning. But if you really want the word to go into your heart and be a foundation for your finances, then take this word in. Amen. Amen. Seed is the sure way to stop poverty in your life. Surest way. Surest way. It is the quickest way for total debt cancellation. Now I tithe. These are the four different types of offerings or givings that unto the Lord. I tithe, I put my first fruits. Anything that I don't practice here, I won't preach. I give my seed. Now, my almsgiving, I don't say it out. You're not supposed to say it out. Are you with me? But if you're a tither, you can boldly say, I'm a tither. Because the Bible doesn't say, let not your left hand, not from the right hand. If you are a giver, you can say, I'm a giver. That is not pride. That is not arrogance. Are you with me? When you give in almsgiving, helping the poor, say it out. So you can boldly say, I'm a tither, Pastor. I've been a tither for the last 10 years, 20 years, ever since I came to know God's word, I'm a tither. Praise God for that. Are you with me? Yes, Pastor, I put my first fruits unto God. I do that. Can boldly say, yeah, Pastor, I release my faith and I sow a seed. So getting up or breaking out into your blessing, what happens to most people is that almsgiving, helping the poor, it's a huge propaganda. Everything else they don't do at all. Sometimes they take the tithe money and give to the poor. And they're wondering why they're not prospering. When you tithe, the window is open. God rebukes the devourer. Your life is safe. I received an AC about 15 years back. The Lord has rebuked the devourer. It has never got a complaint so far. I experience these blessings. But seed, open your mouth and say seed, sowing into a fertile soil gives you a return from God. The measure that you give, He measures it back to you. So you don't tithe and say, I'm not prospering, Pastor. Yeah, you opened up the door for a blessing. Your first fruits, definitely the overflow will come. Are you with me? But then you come to this point where you say, okay, Lord, I've been releasing my faith. I've been sowing. I've been releasing the seed. Boom. Let me tell you, God's word, you will prosper. You will prosper. You will prosper. Hallelujah. Blessing of the Lord. You will break out into the blessing of God. Let's close our eyes in prayer tonight. Do you really want to be free? Close your eyes. Let's pray together. Whatever your cycles are you 100% convinced that Jesus can set you free? It might be a sickness, it might be a bondage, it might be a financial issue, whatever. But are you convinced that the Lord can set you free? Then seek Him tonight in prayer. Are you just happy in being in that cycle? Or you want to come out? You want to break out into your blessing? Say to the Lord, open your heart, speak to Him tonight. Either stand up in the presence of God or kneel down in the presence of God tonight. Lay your life before Him. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I commit my life into your hands. I believe you died for me and you rose again from the dead. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me for every time I have disobeyed you. Forgive me all my sins. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I surrender my life to you. Bring me out of every cycle of defeat or debt, of addictions, of bondage. Whatever you're going through, say it out. Whatever it might be. It might be pornography, it might be sexual abuse, it might be whatever. I do not know what your problem is, but say it out. Say it out to the Lord. Lord, I believe that you will bring me out of this cycle. I'm convinced, Jesus, that you died for me, that your blood will speak for me, that your precious blood will flow through my life and redeem me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I surrender my life to you. I lay my life before you. Jesus, I believe you died for me and you rose again from the dead. I renounce poverty. I renounce debt. I renounce every addiction. I renounce every habitual sin. I renounce it. I renounce every sin. I renounce every demon. I renounce Satan. I renounce the world. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my life. Wash me with your precious blood. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Purify my heart with your precious blood. I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender to you, Jesus. Lay your life before Him tonight. Lay your life before Him tonight. Lay your life before Him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your mouth and say, I renounce sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce the world. I renounce every habitual sin. Precious blood of Jesus, cleanse me. I renounce every curse. I renounce every poverty. I renounce every debt. I renounce it. Jesus, cleanse me with your precious blood. I surrender myself to you completely. I renounce every sickness. I renounce it. I renounce every fear of death. I renounce it. Say it. I renounce it. I renounce every affliction. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. Renounce it. Thank you, Jesus. Cleanse me, Lord, with your precious blood. I surrender to you. I submit to you. Thank you, Jesus. Anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now lift your hands and praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him.
Thank you for being here. You have just been blessed by a powerful message from Pastor Rajesh Matthew. We at Cornerstone Church encourage you to join us as we gather in the name of Jesus to worship the Lord and to feed on His fresh word every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for the Malayalam services and for the English services on Fridays 6:30 p.m. and Sundays 3 p.m. in the afternoon. You can also watch us live at www.joshuageneration.org, where the services are live streamed and archived for later viewing. God bless you, and remember, we are for signs and wonders for the Lord our God.